Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live on RBN on this Friday, July 14th, 2023, on the Dankoff Report from San Antonio, Texas. You can listen live, of course, at republicbroadcasting.org, which, if you're hearing me right now, is precisely what you're doing. We will have in our roadmap description of this show a link for people to listen later. Who may be catching this show in certain foreign countries in different time zones from where we are at 2 p.m. Central Time here in Texas. And that's typically going to involve some people in Russia, some people in the Middle East, especially in Iran, some in Lebanon, as well as some points in Southeast Asia, especially in Malaysia. And, of course, we are widely listened to in South Africa because of my past trip over there some 10 years ago. So here we go, July 14th. Topics. Here's a funny one, folks. Zelensky misses the pre-tribulational rapture in Vilnius. Now, somebody sent me this from V. Kontakta. It's very well done. It looks absolutely official. And it's based upon the quote-unquote NATO bestseller, Left Behind. This is a tongue-in-cheek, of course, attack on Zelensky at his expense, and it also goes back to the Tim LaHaye wing of the American Zionist movement and the whole issue of being left behind if you are not raptured prior to the tribulation. And, of course, this gets into John Nelson Darby and the Schofield Reference Bible and Hal Lindsey in recent decades of the late great planet Earth, Dallas Theological Seminary, Moody Bible Institute, so forth and so on. But if you want to learn a little bit more about dispensationalism and the 70th week of Daniel, I've got an online graduate paper that I wrote on this through the Westminster Princeton tradition of eschatology that goes back to my time at Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia quite a number of years ago. Still trying to finish one more language and my ultimate thesis in order to get that behind me. That would have been finished a long time ago had it not been for certain family tribulations in regard to the health of various people in my family. And perhaps this year I actually resume this and get it finished. Here's a story that we need to be reminded of. I have entitled this topic, "The Silence Since 2019 is Deafening." Do you remember what Whitney Webb was doing for Mint Press News on the mega group, the Maxwells and Mossad, and the spy story at the heart of the Jeffrey Epstein scandal? Most of the listeners of this network will know exactly what I'm talking about here. If you are new to this whole business, take a look at that Mint Press News story from 2019, because it gets at the heart of all of the arrests and prosecutions that have never taken place in terms of the Epstein, Maxwell, espionage and sex trafficking ring. And presumably, and I think more than presumably, I believe it, and I believe Whitney Webb would say it as well, that the reason this has never been gotten to the bottom of is because it involves the Israeli lobby and the Israeli espionage nexus, Mossad, potentially two or three other Israeli intelligence agencies. But they're obviously at the heart of this whole issue of the Epstein, Maxwell, and Mossad sex trafficking scandal, which is also a blackmailing scandal. Now, I'm getting a little bit of ahead of myself here when I mention to his credit that at least South Front gives RFK Jr. a very clean pass on this whole issue of the Epstein-Maxwell sex blackmail operation. They've got one which I have posted under the RFK section. It's entitled "RFK Jr. Had No Relationship with Jeffrey Epstein or with his sex blackmail operation." That's one of the things to the credit of RFK Jr. I'll also have some things that are less laudatory in regard to some of his positions on certain subjects. But I think in terms of his basic decency and integrity, as much as we might disagree with him here at RBN on certain issues, that nonetheless, he has at least for the time being gotten a clean bill of health in terms of this whole sordid business. The conundrums of history. Here's another topic. How did General Curtis LeMay manage to miss Yoko Ono when he firebombed Tokyo at 5,000 feet with his personally designed incendiaries? This is absolutely factual. I never knew this before. I was doing some LeMay research because Barrett Tillman's book on LeMay is listed as one of our books for our listeners. And those of you who have been with me for many years on RBN will remember that some 15 or 16 years ago, I had Barrett Tillman on my RBN show, and he was discussing his book, LeMay. And of course, LeMay and my dad were more than acquainted with each other, so it was a particularly good show. And once again, LeMay keeps coming up in terms of all kinds of things many, many years after his passage in 1990. But it comes out that Yoko Ono is a relatively young person. I'm estimating she was about 12 at the time, maybe. She's 90 now. She was one of the folks that at that time was fortunate enough to get into a shelter where she managed to survive what was one of the most horrific air actions in history. It's been argued that LeMay killed more people over Tokyo than died in either the Hiroshima or the Nagasaki bombings. He was a very, very controversial person. And, of course, the Barrett Tillman book on LeMay is a must-read, as well as several others, including Thomas Coffey's classic on LeMay entitled The Iron Eagle. This is a very fascinating character. Whatever you think of him, he changed the course of combat aviation in world history forever, whether you argue that that's a good thing or a bad thing. RFK and Biden, let's get down to the forecasts. Douglas McKinnon for The Hill. When is the optimal time for Biden to drop out of the race? It's amazing that The Hill has printed this very fine op-ed by Douglas McKinnon. Take a look at that one, because it suggests that Sleepy Joe's support, supposedly guaranteed by his control of the Democratic establishment or the Democratic establishment's control of him, nonetheless is starting to look rather shaky. When's the optimal time for Biden to drop out of the race? Read the McKinnon article or simply look at my editorial comment of one word, now. So let's take a look at the biggest problem that Joe Biden has. Arguably, I think he has 10 or 12 going on right now, but our own Republic Broadcasting Network has posted something at republicbroadcasting.org entitled Biden's Biggest Problem is RFK Jr. Our staff reproduced that from the Institute for Sound Public Policy. Read that, folks, because, again, it contradicts the panicked reaction of the establishment to the fact that RFK Jr., for better or worse, is clearly gaining ground. He's gaining ground in the polls, and some of that, frankly, is due to some amazing fundraising. As we will see here shortly in another post from The Hill, RFK Jr.'s campaign hauled in $3 million in 3 days. That brought him up to $6 million by the 30th of June cutoff for a quarterly report with the Federal Election Commission. The PAC, Political Action Committee, associated with Mr. Kennedy's efforts, has collected another $10 million. So keep an eye on this story, because when you're running as a Democrat and your opponent is Joe Biden and your last name is Kennedy and millions of dollars are starting to come in, it's starting to make people sweat in mainstream media and certainly in the Democratic National Committee headquarters, as well as Globo Homo. Again, I have some critical things to say about RFK Jr. In a proper spirit, I like the guy. I have some concerns about him, especially as it relates to things Zionist, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Zero Hedge has one entitled Ceaseless Escalation. RFK Jr. slams Biden for sending cluster bombs to Ukraine. Excellent position for RFK Jr. to take. It is the correct position, and I'll have something to say on RFK and the war here very, very shortly. We just mentioned the Hill Post, of course, on the money that is starting to roll in RFK Jr.'s direction. Dr. Joseph Mercola has one for Lou Rockwell entitled Kennedy's Health Policy Roundtable. It's a video, and there's also some transcript written commentary coming from Dr. Mercola. That one is an excellent view, and obviously it gets into the reason that many, many libertarians and many, many quote-unquote conservatives, whatever that term is supposed to mean today, certainly support RFK Jr. In regard to the World Health Organization and in regard to these coercive shutdowns in terms of COVID-19, as well as vaccine policies that Kennedy and others are questioning in terms of just how safe they are. all kinds of things have been happening since the heyday of official health industry propaganda on this subject. And regardless of all of the attempts going on the part of mainstream media to label Kennedy as a quote-unquote kook, they are starting to watch these numbers coming in on contributions and recognizing that on this subject, as well as others, Kennedy's message is starting to resonate. Let's get into some areas briefly on RFK that I am not so sanguine about. I think he's an honest guy, but I think that he needs to take a close look at his Middle Eastern policy, especially as it relates to what seems up to this point to be pretty much a carte blanche support for Israel. Therefore, we have his debate with Glenn Greenwald from YouTube up there on the big board. You can watch those two guys go at it in regard to this whole issue of Israel and how that relates to the national security complex, the military-industrial complex, how it relates to the larger issue of human rights generally, not simply to mention in Palestine itself, as well as the Zionist support in so many different quarters for Volodymyr Zelensky and this miserable global homo policy in Ukraine and this Ukrainian-Russian war. And, of course, this goes all the way back to Mikhail Khodorkovsky, who is the Ukrainian Israeli oligarch, who was the original financial power and brain power behind the sudden rise of Volodymyr Zelensky as a politician and in Ukraine in regard to the oligarchic elite in that country. And finally, Zelensky as a global homo celebrity worldwide. But fascinatingly enough, it is quite obvious in watching even mainstream media that a lot of people that have been in this guy's corner backing him in major places in the American and Western European political elite are absolutely sick of this guy because he's totally obnoxious. And I don't remember whether it was Mercurius or Cristoforo with the Duran who once observed that Volodymyr Zelensky is a lot like Hillary Clinton. The more they talk, the more you learn to hate them. And in this regard, clearly what happened in Vilnius at this NATO summit that I believe wraps up today, it's quite obvious that Zelensky is a losing horse, and a lot of people in a lot of different countries are going to start asking their central governments, why have you turned over collectively $300 billion to this moron and got all untold numbers of people killed? And we'll take a look at the fatalities and all of the latest in terms of the statistics that have been going on in the so-called Ukrainian counteroffensive. From June the 4th, I think these statistics go up through about the 11th of July, just 3 days ago. It is not going well for Zelensky. It is not going well for Ukraine. And the whole question of the Biden administration and what their response is to this is getting a little nerve-wracking, especially as we learn today that Joe Biden has committed another 3,000 American boots to the ground in Europe at present. But it is clear just from statements, clarifying statements being made by sources at the Pentagon, that this is some sort of a backup security force that may have to do with things Ukrainian. And all kinds of rumors going on right now in regard to who else may be pulled into a disastrous effort in Ukraine that begins to involve NATO countries. How close is Joe Biden to ordering a false flag that would get the United States in this thing with boots on the ground directly in Western Ukraine or in the Donbass? And you start throwing in all of this business about Romania and training F-16 pilots. You start throwing in this whole issue of Poland's increasing involvement in weapons shipments going into Western Ukraine to support Zelensky, certainly at the behest of NATO and the United States and the EU. This whole issue of how much further these people are going to push the envelope is the $64,000 question of the day, and learning that Sleepy Joe has just decided to throw 3,000 additional American boots in the ground in this NATO monkey business that is presently going on in Europe as it relates to things Ukrainian. I don't like the looks of it, folks, and at this particular juncture, This plays into the RFK primary candidacy against Biden, of which I will say something here very shortly. I see that a very famous colleague of mine from Kentucky wants to chat with me. I'm going to bring him on in just a second. Can't offend him, because occasionally he does substitution work for me on this show and elsewhere. Jeremy of Kentucky, I'm going to get him on here in just a second. Let me say some other things about RFK Jr. and this business of Israel and so-called anti-Semitism. RFK's appearance with Rabbi Boteach at Jewish Journal doesn't do a lot for me. At the same time, Jonathan S. Tobin brings in his usual yellow journalism for Israel Hayom, saying that RFK Jr. has flunked the Roger Waters test. Quote unquote, this is Tobin speaking, tolerance for anti-Semitism can't be ignored. We put certain hand signs on the roadmap in response to Tobin's statement that if he ever looks at this, he'll get a very, very nice opinion of or expressed opinion of what we really think of his journalism. Here's one Jewish Forward is clearly reaching at RFK Jr. when they say that he is tied to a controversial streamer who claimed Hitler was, quote-unquote, utterly set up by the Jews. Now, of course, this is the sort of thing where you start getting into the whole issue of somebody who agrees with your position on vaccines. You know, maybe they sent you $10 with a contribution or something. And, of course, the Zio media gets a hold of this sort of thing and then tries to tie the candidate two or three or four or five sources or people remove from a particular person. And this is how the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Jewish Forward and the Jewish Journal and all of these other people operate. The question is, when is RFK Jr. going to reevaluate his policies on Israel in the Middle East, which I don't think are particularly good policies, frankly? All of you who know me well know what I think of that. But the other thing is, for all of his attempts to kind of have a certain understanding or a certain peace, as it were, with Boteach and some of these other people in mainstream Jewish activism, Zionist activism, and media, they still seem to be taking some pretty nasty pot shots at him. Tom Woods for Lou Rockwell has one out there. Respectable libertarians attack RFK. That is, I think, a very, very good piece to take a look at. And let's take our first caller, Jeremy of Kentucky. I hope you haven't hung up. How you doing, buddy?
Man, glad to hear you live, Mark. You got to come on my show, man. We got to do a religious broadcast again soon, and the people demand it. I know your schedule's tight.
Okay. Well, we'll do it, and you send me an idea on a part. It's Wednesday nights, right?
Yeah, so that's the religious broadcast. We got just a second before the break. I just wanted to upend your show by saying that I study dispensationalism, but yet I'm not Zionist. I'm anti-Semitic and racist. The irony abounds. Back on the other side.
Thank you very much. We'll hook you up with Jonathan Tobin.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, More doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
We are back. You are listening to the Dankoff Report live on RBN on this July 14th. We started at 2 p.m. Central Time. In my studio, I have these world clocks which tell me what time it is if people are listening abroad. And then, of course, in terms of the Dankoff Report itself, we have been discussing R.F. Kennedy Jr. Heavily in the first part of the show. I'll simply say this. I don't know. RFK might be undertaking his present positions on Israel with an eye on what happened to Pat Buchanan in 1992 and 1996 with the Zionist lobby. That's a possibility. I don't know, and I don't know Kennedy. I'll ask Jeremy, because he's still holding. I'll ask Jeremy what he thinks of that hypothesis, which is precisely that, simply a hypothesis. I have no inside information on this, certainly from Kennedy himself, in regard to what he really thinks of Michael Collins Piper's final judgment, or what he really thinks about Laurent Guyonnaud's research, some of which is based on Piper's work in regard to the deaths of both his uncle and his father. One thing I would say to RFK Jr., and the chances are excellent that he doesn't listen to this show, certainly has no reason to listen to me. He doesn't know me personally, but I think at a bare minimum, the big issue for him in this fight with Biden is going to be the war, the Russian-Ukrainian war, and the larger issue of wars on behalf of globalist and corporatist interests. If RFK chooses not to use the word Zionist, he may be doing that for tactical reasons. I don't know. But nonetheless, while I have no objection whatsoever to what he's doing on the vaccine front, and I happen to agree with most, if not all, of his positions on that subject, but the whole issue of focusing on this war and staying out of World War III, I think increasingly must take center stage in his campaign, and he needs to hit it and hit it and hit it on the stump wherever he's going, because ultimately that's where I think the greatest number of Republican votes in a Democratic primary and a number of Republican and independent votes in a general election if Kennedy were to defy all odds and win the Democratic nomination, that a lot of those votes would be coming from people who feel like I do, and as many of you do who listen to RBN. We are sick of these globalist wars that are being run by the usual cabal and that have no relationship whatsoever to our true national security interest, and that are killing millions of innocent people abroad at the same time that we are risking getting millions of our own kids killed in a war that this time has all the potential to involve the continental United States in this dangerous nuclear era in which we are living. Jeremy, you still there?
Yeah, I certainly am anti-war, and I agree with that sentiment. However, I'm not optimistic about RFK. He's playing the role of Ross Perot. RFK is just going to divide the Democrat vote. Let's assume, Mark, that RFK is what he says he is and is going to do what he says he's going to do. We still have election fraud. We still have 8 states doing mail-in ballots. And they're going to pull that and count these things weeks and weeks after the fact. So I just don't think there's any sort of a solution there. That's my whole take on the RFK thing.
And you may be right.
But if we could discuss this dispensational thing, and it's probably going to be controversial and light up your call screen, and I can be quick. So, because this whole thing is about Jewish power, I mean, honestly. You know, there's Jews behind RFK, just like there were Jews behind Trump. They're factioned, but they agree on one thing at the end of the day, what's best for the Jews. How to go about it, they don't agree on. This whole dispensational thing, so dispensational theory is just a systematic theology that helps you understand eschatology or the end times prophecies. I'm explaining these things for the audience. You and I know what these are, Mark.
Yes.
So the basic premise of it is that the Jews are still a thing, they're chosen, and they're going to be a thing in the future. And there's a lot of prophecies that lead to that. Now, I study dispensationalism, but I'm not Zionist. How does that work? Well, when Israel became a state in 1918 or 1917, you had the Balfour Declaration, and in 1948 you had Israel becoming a state. So Christians were falsely led into thinking, oh, this is the restoration of Israel. When in fact, what they're witnessing is the synagogue of Satan, those that say they're Jews but are not, Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. So this secular state that we're witnessing are evil and they're under judgment. Zephaniah 2, verses 1 and 2, talks about the regathering of this undesirable nation for the purpose of the Lord pouring judgment upon them. So these people, whoever they are, I don't know if they're connected with the Old Testament or not. They say they're Jews. They're collected together for the purpose of judgment. But I do think, studying dispensationalism, that there is going to be a remnant, as Paul put out in Romans 9, 10, and 11. And I think that's Revelation 7, the 12,000, or the 12 tribes of Israel, the 144,000.
Very good. As long as Zelensky is not included, I'm kosher with that. That's horrible. We'll be back.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio.
We are back. You are listening to the Dan Koff Report live, coming from San Antonio, Texas, on this July 14th on the Republic Broadcasting Network. In addition to Jeremy, I've got a couple of other callers, so let me whip through a couple of things here. Larry Johnson, the old-time CIA analyst at Sonar 21, has one entitled, Is Biden Preparing to Take the U.S. to War Against Russia? That builds on this whole issue of what is going on with these additional 3,000 American troops that Biden has decided to send to the European theater for purposes related to Ukraine. Purposes that are presently unclear. Phil Giraldi, the great Philip Giraldi, for the UNS Review. Did Yevgeny Prigozhin really lead an armed rebellion in Russia, or was it possibly something quite different? Read that story. If you're like me, you'll read it and still be unsure as to what really was going on in that circumstance. But Dr. Giraldi certainly takes us through, as a longtime CIA analyst and station chief with the CIA and counterintelligence guy, he takes us through all of the possibilities here, with some of which I had been receiving from people abroad who in Russia, especially folks who could understand and communicate in English very well, who would offer their own opinions at the time to me in private communications as to what was happening there. Dr. Giraldi's article is worthwhile. Intel Slava Z, which is an official Russian news source, reports on Defense Minister Shoigu's statistics about the offensive character of this Ukrainian counteroffensive from June 4th through July 11th. Perhaps the most important statistic is the irretrievable losses of about 26,000 Ukrainian soldiers and about 3,000 units of various equipment and weapons. We have itemized, or actually we have provided for you what Shoigu has itemized in regard to what he claims are all of the tanks and artillery and aircraft and helicopter and UAV and cruise missile losses. But this particular case, I'll let you take a look at that as you will. And, you know, the statistics, at least for some of the people I consult, including the Durand and Brian Berletic and Military Summary on YouTube and some of those types of folks, South Front, they all seem to believe that those numbers are pretty accurate in regard to the catastrophic character of Zelensky's counteroffensive at the behest of his American and NATO handlers, which is absolutely destroying his own people and his own country. And, of course, it's likely to be a situation where when the roof finally caves in, we'll probably, as I think Christopher with the Durand said today in one video, we'll get a chance, just as these people were hanging on to these American planes when Biden's people were running out of Kabul, we're likely to see Zelensky hanging on to some landing gear or hanging on to a wing as the last of these NATO planes get out of that country pronto when the whole thing finally heads south. But we'll see. LifeSite News, Colonel McGregor warns the U.S. may not make it to the 2024 presidential election. That's coming to us again from LifeSite News, and I believe they included the video with that. Oakland Institute, the takeover of Ukraine's agricultural land, war and theft. Sputnik quotes a Biden official as saying that Biden is, quote-unquote, screwed, that Seymour Hersh received from this anonymous Biden official the information that cluster bombs have zero chance of helping Ukraine. The one thing that they do have an excellent chance of doing in coming years is killing a lot of innocent civilians. We'll skip over some of the other stories that I have posted for you on the Russian-Ukrainian war. Politics, the U.S. budget deficit nearly triples. That comes to us from RT. The road to a single fiat world currency, that is Thorsten Polite for the Austrian and for Lou Rockwell. Hey, today is Bastille Day in France. I won't go through all of that now, except to say that you have to see the video that accompanies this Vkontakte roadmap, where you can see the French people booing President Macron on Bastille Day. So there's plenty of reason to believe that not all is well in Paris, especially with all of the racial violence there involving immigrants, and in regard to this disastrous French foreign policy of supporting Globo Homo and Zelensky, which is doing terrible things to France domestically at the same time that is starting to hit all of us whose respective governments have dragged us into this mess. Mike Whitney on China, the one chart that explains everything. Take a look at that story. We have a Lou Rockwell post on Hunter Biden. And I have a series of other things that keep coming up in regard to not only politics but culture. Paul Craig Roberts, why the U.S. Armed Services cannot recruit. And the reason they can't recruit, he tells us, is because of all of the perverts that are in it now. Russia is now moving toward banning sex changes. No Biden Democrats allowed in Russia. That would be the way I would interpret that particular story. And then, of course, we have history links up there. We have books up there. I want you to take a look at all of the book links that I have provided for you. One of those involves a book entitled The Dispossessed Majority. Mark Weber of IHR, in a recent interview, alluded to that book as having shaped his life from a very early stage of what became Weber's career and all of the things that he's presently doing at IHR. That book is incredibly expensive through a lot of outlets online, because apparently a lot of people don't want you to read that book. Mark Weber was kind enough to provide me, for you, certain links where you can actually get it online in PDF format for absolutely nothing. So that's a very, very good suggestion to take a look at that book. We discussed the Tillman book on LeMay. Malcolm Gladwell's book, The Bomber Mafia, is up there. And last but not least, we put up a film, The Death of America. Please take a look at that film and all of the attention that it's getting in the national and international media. where it's doing extremely well early on, dealing with perversion and child sex trafficking in the United States. And this thing has even displaced Harrison Ford's release of his new Indiana Jones movie. Is the hottest thing out there for just a very short period of time in the initial stages. So let's we'll see what transpires there. But take a look at that film, The Death of America. I put up a trailer. I put up a YouTube a video on that film. And LifeSite News, last but not least, had a major story on it that I have there available for you. So at this particular juncture, let me go back and take a look. And I believe I've got David on the line in Massachusetts. Jeremy is maybe on as well. Jeremy, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. And yeah, let me pose this question. Let me pose this question to David and Mark. Mark, you believe in the Trinity, right? The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, three persons and one God.
Oh, absolutely. I am a traditional Christian. I'm a Trinitarian. Yeah, you bet.
Excellent. Yeah, let's see what David's comments are on that.
I called in to talk to Pastor Dan Koff.
Okay. Do it.
I didn't call in to talk to Joni. I called in to talk to you, Pastor Dan Koff.
Well, that's okay. Sometimes I cut off Jeremy myself. No. No. That's a joke at Jeremy's expense. Go ahead, David.
No. Pastor Dan Koff, what I was going to say is I heard you earlier in the program refer to wannabe President Joe Biden as Sleepy Joe. And, I've habitually referred to him as Sloppy Joe. But, I've had to append to that title, Sloppy Joe. Now I'm calling him Sloppy Joe Blow, because I drove taxi cab all my life for 35 years on the street. And they call cocaine blow on the street.
Yes.
So this isn't any ordinary Joe Blow. This Joe Blow is in the White House, so he's Sloppy Joe Blow. And with
plenty of cocaine there, as the secular media tells us. And what did you think of this, David, when it came out just a couple of days later? It comes out that the Secret Service said that they couldn't possibly identify the source of that cocaine in the West Wing of the White House. Does anyone believe that? Do you believe that, David?
Absolutely not. But listen, let me try my hand at this so-called remote viewing. Here's what my remote viewing tells me. You know, Pastor Dan Koff, that old saying, where there's smoke, there must be fire. Well, with
yes.
Hunter Biden, where there's coke, there must be whores. There must be crack whores. Now, you can just betcha, and let me give a heads up to this SS, this Secret Service SS. Hunter Biden, he's got coconuts in that house. There's a large staff in the White House. He's becoming a drug dealer. He's providing cocaine to these coconuts in return for sex. So where there's Hunter Biden and where there's coke, there's also sex and there's also whores. You can just bet. And that's why the Secret Service is so this guy's I'm telling you, man, the devil never quits. But anyways, yeah. So you can
hey,
just
David,
bet,
I wanted to recommend that you read something, because it dovetails with what you've been saying, and then we need to get to the next caller. I got two more I got to try and get in here in the next 10 minutes or so. But this one's for you, David. If you go to RT.com, that's RussiaToday.com, Robert Bridge has an op-ed piece. He's an American writer, by the way. He has an op-ed piece about Hunter Biden. And of course, what a sleazeball he is. I don't remember the exact title of the article, except to say that Bridge was suggesting very strongly that Hunter Biden has become a microcosm, a symbol for the decadent American culture that as a whole has gone down the drain, that would tolerate somebody that close to the President of the United States, related or not. So I'm going to recommend that to you. Take a look at that story, and the next time you call, I want you to let me know what you think of Bridges' essay, because I found it to be pretty compelling.
Okay, can I say one last thing?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, Pastor. Yeah, someone was just looking at me funny. I'm in Lexington, Massachusetts. It's very liberal back there. Somebody heard me talking to you and got up looking weird at me. Some left winger, no doubt. But anyway, Pastor Dan Koff, you know this Volodymyr Zelensky. I call him Volodymyr Lewinsky now. And the reason I call, listen to me now, the reason I call Volodymyr Zelensky Volodymyr Lewinsky is because in the Clinton crime family, you know, he had Monica Lewinsky, as a sex object, and the whole thing with the yellow stain and everything. But the reason I call Volodymyr Zelensky now Volodymyr Lewinsky is because I know he's Biden's bitch. He's Biden's bitch. That's why I call him Volodymyr Lewinsky. What Monica Lewinsky was to Clinton, Volodymyr Lewinsky is to Biden. Biden's bitch. Okay? I hope the SS heard that. I hope the SS heard that. That Secret Service. They know nothing. How they're like Schultz. Yeah, like Sergeant Schultz, how the SS. I know nothing.
Well, that's right. That gets back, unfortunately, and this is my editorial remark, and then I'll take Joe from Florida. David, this is a question of always using and protecting the same tribe, it would seem. The same tribe, of course, behind the Epstein-Maxwell blackmail and sex trafficking operation of Volodymyr Zelensky and Monica Lewinsky, also a part of that same tribe. And I don't think in my own mind that that's necessarily a coincidence. Take care, David. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Doctor.
Thank you, sir. Joe from Florida, you're on the Dankoff Report live from San Antonio. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Pastor Dankoff. Good to hear you and good to hear Jeremy, too. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I wanted to, about RFK, this is really interesting to me because so I come from, you know, traditionally very Republican voting my whole life. And I sort of seen what they've been up to and been turned off by it. But here's my question. Is there a possibility? See, I'm wondering if RFK Jr. might not be so much like his father or his uncle, but maybe hoping that he could be a little bit more like his grandfather. And it, with respect, now we see the Jewish fingerprints on him already, but I'm wondering how much could he be maybe not controlled? I mean, it is similar, Jeremy was talking about the Jewish control, you know, of Trump, but might RFK do for the Democrat Party what Trump did for the Republican Party, which is like totally upset the apple cart, even though there are still some Jewish control mechanisms on it? I'm just trying to think of what would allow me to vote for him.
Well, you know what I've been telling people on RBM, and you've probably heard me say it, Joe. I am a lifelong Taft, Pat Buchanan type Republican. The notion of voting Democratic and voting for someone whose last name is Kennedy would be kind of a novel experience for me. But
me too.
Although I was talking with one of Kennedy's supporters here in Texas, and they asked me, they asked me when I was first able to legally vote, and I said, well, I was legally voted in 1976. In Indiana, I was in college at Valparaiso University. I voted for Ronald Reagan over Gerald Ford in the Indiana primary in that year. And, of course, Reagan won that primary but did not get the nomination that year, as you probably know. And then they started talking about 1968. This person was old enough that they voted in 1968 and voted in either Oregon or California for RFK Sr. before the tragedy in Los Angeles. But I said, well, in my particular case, I voted in a mock election. I was in the eighth grade in Dayton, Ohio, and they brought in these voting machines from Montgomery County, Ohio, so that they let all the kids vote and then have an assembly the next day where they could compare the results with the national tabulations on votes and percentages and states and so forth. And he said, did you vote for Nixon? Or did you vote for Hubert Humphrey? And I said, well, in my particular case, I voted for George Wallace and Kurt LeMay. and they said, that's absolutely horrible. And I said, hey, I thought LeMay had the best plan to end the Vietnam War. RFK would have gotten us out of Vietnam. LeMay would have said, well, as long as we're here, let's just blow these people into the Stone Age. But either way, you would not have had the Hubert Humphrey or Richard Nixon continuing to swim in mud on the whole thing, right? But I said, yeah. But they got a kick out of that, and they said, and you're going to vote for RFK Jr. this year? And I said, unless he really blows his foot off, I'm going to enter in the Democratic primary in Texas. I'm going to vote for him simply to give Joe Biden a black eye, as Eugene McCarthy did to LBJ in New Hampshire in 1968. I said, because that, I think, will definitely weaken Biden if Kennedy does well in the Democratic primaries. If Kennedy were to actually, against all odds, win the Democratic nomination, then, of course, I'd have to really consider things very carefully in the fall for very obvious reasons. One other thing, and then I better take another caller, Joe. The one other thing on this, I am hearing rumors about the possibility, with all of the rigging that the Democratic National Committee is capable of, one of the things they're apparently doing, they were trying to get these Democratic primaries, the earliest ones, transferred away in terms of calendar dates from New Hampshire and Iowa, and move the earliest ones into Georgia and South Carolina for some very, very obvious reasons. The states of Georgia and South Carolina wouldn't go for it, and those, not coincidentally, are controlled by Republican governors and Republican state houses. So the DNC has apparently got this idea that, you know, Joe Biden has threatened not to even run in the Iowa caucus and not to run in New Hampshire as some sort of a protest statement. And then, of course, the Democratic National Committee is apparently some way going to try and rig their rules so that they can reduce the delegates from Iowa and New Hampshire that will go to Kennedy if Kennedy wins those initial primaries, which it's starting to look like he might, especially if Biden gets any worse, and especially if the public perceives that the Democratic National Committee is cheating, and in this time not cheating in a general election against a Republican, but cheating one of their own people whose last name is the most legendary name arguably in the history of the Democratic Party. That could that kind of rigged stuff going on between a Democratic challenger and a Democratic incumbent, who is clearly both an incompetent and mentally challenged and a crook, could heavily fracture the Democratic Party. And if it get that bad, which it could, that would virtually guarantee that a Republican would be elected. The other thing is there's even been talk that people talk to me about all things on the side, that maybe Kennedy, if this thing with the Democratic National Committee reached a point where they were just totally ripping him off, he could withdraw from the race and run as an independent in the fall. That would create...
Right.
generic.
I agree. And just really quickly, if I can, sure. I totally am in the same sympathy with you. If I had to, I'm thinking that to hold my nose and vote for Kennedy in the presidential election, the only way I could do it would be, I'm thinking of the parallel, and I wasn't alive, 1968, okay. If this presidential race next year became a total plebiscite on this war, which I think is imminently very much going to get much worse. And if, like his father did, his father didn't start out as an anti-war candidate, I think it was Eugene McCarthy, but his father did, and then, of course, Johnson decided not to run because he saw what was coming down the road. If that could happen, right, and whoever the Republican was, because honestly, I have disagreements with Kennedy about abortion and probably other things, right, but if the issue became, if this became all about this war, which I think is imminently going to become very problematic, and we could be tied into it. So if it does become a plebiscite in the war, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the man to at least bring that and keep us out of it, then I could vote for him then. But thank you, Pastor, and God bless.
Thank you, Joe, and you're basically articulating my own thinking as to the strategy of this thing. And we'll just see, and on this uncertain world, whether or not Colonel McGregor proves ominously correct when he says that we may not even make it to the election. The situation is so bad. But let's just hope Colonel McGregor is right.
Either that or we get E. Michael Jones for president.
Hey, there you go. Hey, I'd vote for Mike in a heartbeat.
Kennedy is a wrecking ball to the system. I totally agree.
So... Well, who knows? I might run since LeMay's not alive. That's a joke, folks. I have no intention of getting anywhere. Yeah, that's right. Well, and probably three others at least nationally. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks.
Bruce from Texas. I guess you got a couple of minutes, Bruce. I'm sorry we cut you a little short. Go ahead.
Yeah, a couple of minutes if I can. I try to keep my calls as brief as possible. It's not how long you talk, but what you say, in my opinion. Yeah, first of all, you know, on these books and the expenses of them, I bought David Irving's Hitler's War off of Amazon maybe 14, 15 years ago. It cost me $25, first edition. I think it was purged from a public library, and they put it up for sale. Now you go to Amazon, you look, $265 for a copy.
Yes, absolutely.
So, and you look at the reviews, and the reviews are all 4 stars, you know, so... They're not printing it. I think Avon Press now has rights to it. Of course, they're not going to reprint it. So that's, you know, they're going to keep the knowledge away from the people.
Mark Weber has copies for sale, I believe, at IHR.org. Get into IHR.org and go to their shop. I believe Mark Weber can sell that book at a really nice edition, too, in pristine condition. I'm going to say I paid $65 for it in the last year or so. So anyway,
RFK is a Zionist. And he knows where his bread's butter. He's got $6 million plus in his coffers. And so, again, we have a choice of Zionists. And so I don't see that as a real choice. I mean, I hear a lot
and
of enthusiasm
is, and that is the problem. Yes.
Yes. All right. I hear the music.
Hey, thank you, Bruce. You've been listening to the Dan Koff Report live on RBN from San Antonio on this July 14th. I'll see you next week. We'll see what happens with this war. We'll see what happens to the economy. We'll see what happens in this Biden-RFK Jr. square off in the early days of what will be campaign 2024. See you next week. God bless.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.